You're listening to Boat Radio. I'm Dr. John Ross, Medical Director of Clipper Telemed Plus, and this is Medical Emergencies at Sea.
Oh, Lord, please bring me shelter. Please bring me shelter from yonder storm. Won't you shine on me when the rain has come? Oh, sun, won't you shine on me? Won't you shine on me when the rain has come?
In this, our introductory program, I'm going to share a recent case. I'm going to tell you a little bit about Clipper Telemed Plus and provide some general outline for future programs. So I want you to imagine you're the skipper of a 70-foot sailing yacht. On board, you have a mix of experienced and relatively novice crew. You've just begun crossing the North Atlantic when one of your crew tells you he's experiencing increasing chest pain, which is getting severe. He's 62, he's previously healthy. What are you going to do now? I hope that you are squirming, because I don't think anyone was very happy with a case like this. So before I go on, I'm going to tell you a little bit about my background, Clipper Telemed Plus, and why we're doing this program. I've been an emergency physician for almost 30 years and work as an ER doc, or an emergency physician, in a busy downtown teaching hospital emergency department in a coastal city in Canada. Because we're constantly challenged by junior learners, I think it forces us to stay sharp, which is good for learners, it's good for patient care, and I think it also is good for us. We keep sharpening our saws. About 20 years ago, a small group of us formed a company called Praxis Medical Group to provide advice and medical support to people in remote settings. And that includes now a mixture of clients from the marine settings. We have the Canadian Navy, Canadian Coast Guard, who call us from time to time. The oil and gas sector have a number of companies that also we support, both the rigs, seismic vessels, and also installations. Fishing fleets, shipping companies, private yachts. And then on to the land, where we have, again, oil and gas companies, pipeline, mining, survey teams, and so on. Anybody who's going to be in a remote or in land-based far north setting is a potential candidate to use this service. So providing medical support through telemedicine in this kind of circumstance, and often with people with very narrow bandwidth in terms of their communication methods, so it's often just pure voice connect, or it may be through text or email, is really a special skill, because we're trying to assist people who have a variety of medical skills that we've often never met before, and we're not doing it by being in personal contact with the patient involved. So we have to kind of extract information from the people that are calling and try and guide them as best we can. Many of my colleagues are unhappy with having to practice in that sort of environment, and only a few of us somewhat crazy people are willing or interested in doing this. So back in the 2013-14 Clipper Venture Around the World race, we got in contact with them and provided both the medical kits but also support to the 11-month-long race quite successfully. It was really interesting. We learned a lot. They learned something. And we developed a very good working relationship. Because of that, we returned for the current version, which is the 2015-16 race, which is now at this very moment crossing the Atlantic and going into Ireland as their third last stop. Then they'll be on to the Netherlands and into London for a finish towards the end of July. So we've learned a lot along the lines with this very dynamic 12-yacht race, multiple legs with a variety of crew members on board over the last two versions of this. Despite being a doctor, I'm a firm believer in what Sir Robin Knox Johnson once said, which is prevention is, as in other aspects of seamanship, better than cure. You're listening to Boat Radio. I'm Dr. John Ross of Clipper Telemed Plus, and this is Medical Emergencies at Sea. So I've told you a little bit about us and my background, and now I want to get back to the case. So back to our case of the 62-year-old man with the chest pain on a yacht crossing the North Atlantic. What can this be? I think probably the first and most obvious assumption one could make is that this is related to the heart. Could this be the beginning of a heart attack? And that's as good a guess as any. I think that, you know, my job as a physician is to say, okay, so that probably is quite likely. Let me think about, just at least even briefly, what else could this be? There are lots of causes of chest pain. And so if you went from the outside of the body to the inside, as an example, it could be an early sign of shingles, it could be sore muscles from grinding the winches, it could be bruised ribs from a fall, it could be a lung infection, blood clot, it could have to do with the esophagus, the swallowing tube, and be a swallowing problem that also gives pain. It could be a major blood vessel problem. The aorta is a significant blood vessel inside the thorax that can give you chest pain. Or it could be referred from elsewhere. So it could be a gallbladder pain, a pancreas. It could be a pinched nerve in the back that's radiating around to the front. There really are, and there are other causes too. So, you know, if you look at that list of 10, 12 things, it's often hard to sort out which one or a combination of problems is actually causing the chest pain. And in some cases, when this is a remote problem, it may not matter. You may just decide, I got to get this guy off. But there are some benign causes and there's some more significant problems. So in this case, it's going to be difficult to tell. And so that's where it's valuable to talk to a medical provider. Who can at least sort through the worrisome versus the less worrisome kind of problems. In this case, the emergency physician who was on for Clipper Telemed Plus and the skipper agreed after a series of questions that this sounded like it was a high-risk case for a cardiac problem or a potential early heart attack, and that the crew member had to come off the boat. So I'll get to that in a second in terms of what we do next, but even the initial treatment can still be provided on board, and that's just giving good old aspirin. So 325 milligrams of aspirin chewed, which doesn't taste very good, but it gets into the system fast, is an important part of early heart attack treatment, believe it or not. And in fact, the usefulness of aspirin as a blood thinner, it's an antiplatelet agent, so it makes the blood less sticky, is almost as efficacious, almost as important as giving the clot-busting drug that often people hear about that costs a lot of money. So aspirin plays a key role, and the earlier we give it, the better. The next thing that needs to be done is that the crewman needs to be reassured by a concerned member of the crew, and that vital signs should be maintained and watched on a regular basis. So keeping an eye on the heart rate, checking the blood pressure, level of consciousness, if oxygen needs to be supplied, although the bottles are often very small and not going to last very long, that may be of value too. In this case, all that stuff was done. So the aspirin was given, the monitors were put on, blood pressure was checked on a regular basis, the O2 sat monitor was put on so we could see a constant pulse and get an idea about what the oxygen levels were. And all this was being reported over the telephone and also in follow-up. So if there are any questions from the crew, they could always get back with the physician and have an update on what to do next. The skipper then made calls to the Clipper Venture Race Center in Gosport, England, also called the local Coast Guard. In this case, they were off the coast of Nova Scotia prior to making their next direct shot across the Atlantic. So they were about 300-plus miles off the coast. The Coast Guard radio people then get in contact with the Joint Rescue Coordination Center once they identify that a medevac has been requested. And in our case, the Joint Rescue Coordination Center is an association between the Coast Guard and the Canadian military. And they share their both human resources, but also ships, aircraft, whatever they have. And then together plan the logistics of how to get an injured or sick member of crew off a ship. they needed to bring the ship around. So in this case, the yacht had to leave the race and start heading back to shore, so back to North America, and get within range. So they needed to be within at least 250 miles, which is going to be the operating range for the helicopter to go out, hover, drop crew, pick up sick member, get them back up on board, and then return to shore safely with at least a little bit of extra. So all this was organized, and the search and rescue people were sent out in a Cormorant helicopter, and they had the oversight of a Hercules aircraft that also goes out as a secondary backup. Search and rescue crew came along, and in the description of the skipper's blog, which you can find on the Clipper Venture Around the World Race site, he describes a textbook version of the RYA Day Skipper or Yacht Master course. The yacht was kept on course. The helicopter approached from the port side in this case, and they attempted to drop a search and rescue tech on board the deck initially, but because of sea conditions and rotor wash, they were unable to do that. And so they then pulled out off the port side and lowered a line, which on several attempts were able to, one of the crew on the Clipper Venture boat was able to grab the line, and then they guided the search and rescue tech down to the deck. Once the first fellow was down, he guided a second crew member down to the deck side. They went immediately down below because time is, of course, ticking away with the helicopter still hovering, and stabilized the crew member, loaded him with the fellow with chest pain, who no longer at this point had chest pain, thankfully, and then put him up on the helicopter, and they were headed back to shore. All of that took, once the decision was made to have the crew on the Clipper boat guide them in, all of that took 14 minutes, which is really an incredible short period of time, all expertly done, and it really sort of shows how the training was so important. The skipper of the vessel also outlined for his crew prior to the helicopter arrival all the things, sort of plan A and plan B, knowing that once the helicopter got overhead that they would be unable to hear anything because of both the loud noise of the engine but also just the sea being whipped up. So the crew was then crew member was then taken from the helicopter and brought back to Halifax, and was seen in the emergency department, and then ultimately admitted to the cardiology service for follow-up. In this case, it had a happy ending. This was a textbook medevac case with many people involved. Fortunately, all moving in the same direction, and the coordination and communication was excellent. You're listening to Boat Radio. I'm Dr. John Ross, and this is Medical Emergencies at Sea. In coming programs, I'd like to discuss the basics of a good medical kit, what to consider after you finish the usual fire on board drill and man overboard drills. Have you ever practiced how to evaluate and treat burns? I'm guessing in many cases, possibly not. How about inhalation burns? What about near drowning or hypothermia after a man overboard drill? We're also going to cover some common saltwater skin conditions and other medical problems, both big and small. I look forward to seeing you again. And my final quote from Pirates of the Caribbean, now, bring me that horizon.
Oh, Lord, please bring me shelter. Please bring me shelter from yonder storm. Won't you shine on me when the rain has come? Oh, sun, won't you shine?